We're holding on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the bottom line, last line. We learned in the Mishnah that if you shecht two animals at the same time, so the animals are standing neck to neck, then we said it is a well, in the previous Mishnah, actually, we had said that it is a kosher shechita. However, now we have said before, when it comes to kodeshim, it's only b'dieved that that would be kosher, or at least the point of the laws of Reb Shimon, who learns from a pasuk that you're not supposed to shecht two kodeshim together. Now, let's talk about, in that connection, about the Parah Adumah. The Parah Adumah has a unique din, which we've touched on here and there in the Gemara, that while you're first preparing it, you're not allowed to be doing any malacha at the same time. If you do, then the Parah Adumah becomes possible. The idea is, Rashi over here says that the idea is because of Hesach Hadas, because then you're doing some other malacha, then you're distracted, and you're not focusing exclusively on the Parah Adumah as the turtle wants you to. A different way of looking at it that Rambam seems to understand, it's not even really so much Hesach Hadas, it's in and of itself malacha passes. So let's talk about that. We talked about the question, does shechita require any kind of kavana for shechita? For example, we said in the Mishnah that if a knife falls off a shelf and shechts, then it would be a possible shechita because there's no koyach adam. But what happens if there's no human power involved? But what happens, for example, a person knocks a knife off a shelf, or a person threw a knife intending to stick it into the wall or something, and it shechted on the way? Would that be a kosher shechita or not? So we said Rav Nosson and the Chachamim argue about that. Rav Nosson says shechita doesn't require kavana, and the Chachamim say it does. So, Omar Rava, shechat para, suppose a person shechts a para aduma, the shechat behema acherasima, and he shechts another animal together with it, having in mind to do that, would give a half of psula, then everybody would agree it's possible, because now you're doing malacha together with it, and you can't do malacha, or any other malacha, while you're preparing the para aduma. On the other hand, mishchat behema acherasima, what happens if a different animal was shechted with it, without kavana? So you didn't realize, you whatever it is, how is a person not going to realize there's another animal there, whatever the case, he didn't pay attention, and another animal was shechted with it. What would be the din? L'Rav Nosson, parapsula behem akshera. According to Rav Nosson, the parah aduma would be possible because you did malacha at the same time, even though, as Rashi points out, it wasn't the kavana. So you're not masiyach das, but since Rav Nosson holds that the shechita of the other animal is kosher, which he has to, because the shechita is that you don't need kavana for shechita, so the other animal was perfectly validly shechted. Well, then automatically it comes out that he did malacha, whether he realized it or not. So therefore, the result is the other animal will be kosher, but the parah aduma will be possible because malacha was done at the same time. The Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who say that shechita requires kavana, then it'll be the other way around. Parah kshera, behema psula. The parah aduma will be kosher, because according to them, the behema psula, the other animal, is possible. So therefore, according to them, in effect, no other malacha was done at the same time. And now, if it had been the kavana, then it would be possible, because then the other one is a kosher shechita, and that's enough malacha to pass over parah aduma. But because of you, according to the Chachamim, you did the second one without kavana, and it's going to be possible. Therefore, the result is that parah aduma remains kosher. And so it's not malacha because it was shaloi b'miskav, and he didn't intend to do it. So here it actually points out again the whole idea why malacha passes is because of hesach hadas. So if he didn't have in mind different malacha, then there's no hesach hadas. So now again, the Rambam seems to understand that the psul of malacha is not specifically because of hesach hadas, but rather a more general thing, that malacha that's done during the while the parah aduma is being prepared passes it. So how the Rambam would understand that detail, then that has to be discussed. And then I've noticed the Kalim on the Rambam, I think, deal with that whole question. The truth is, the machlokas of him and the Raivid is actually in a different connection, is in connection with the parah aduma water. So maybe actually with the parah aduma, the Rambam agrees that the whole problem is hesach hadas, and in this case, there isn't any. In any case, so the Gemara says pshita. Well, all of this seems to be obvious. Yeah, I mean, if the one is kosher, the other one is possible, and then vice versa. So what is Rava's chiddush? And the answer is nishvata behema acheres l'Rav Nosson is tzrichalei. The chiddush is the case where the other animal was accidentally shechted without kavana, and the chiddush is what Rav Nosson would say about that. Without Rava telling us, we would have thought V'shachat osa amrachmanu v'la osa v'chaberta. After all, as the pasuk says, that he should shecht it, and that means we learn from that v'la osa v'chaberta. You can't be shechting another animal at the same time as the parad yoma. But you could argue that maybe that only means v'heiti dami. What would be the scenario where that would be possible? V'gan shachat shtei paras v'hanei adodi. If you actually shechted two parad yomas together, so then we would say that there the pasuk is telling us that it's possible. Avol behemah decholin, but if it was another animal cholin, emalo, you would think that not. Maybe that's not enough to passel the parad yoma. And again, it wouldn't passel it because of malacha, because it was shaloi b'kavan. So you could argue that even though Rav Nosson would hold that a shchita without kavana is a valid shchita, maybe it's still not going to be passeling it because the b'shachat oisa is only about two parah dumas at the same time. And therefore, Rav wants us to know that no, Rav Nosson holds that the drosha is not just two parah dumas, any two animals that are shechted together, provided that the shchita of the second one winds up being kosher, namely in this case where there's no kavana, and he would hold that and prevent it from being kosher. Tosfos points out that in that case, according to the Chachamim, so what do they need the pasuk for? If you're going to say, you're talking about where you're shechting a different parah duma with it, then of course it's going to be pasuk, according to everybody, you don't need, and if you're going to say that, if they're going to say that we're talking about the case where you shechted another animal, and nevertheless, and we're saying shaloi b'kavana, the other one is pasuk, so then fine, there's no malacha, but if it was b'kavana, then what do we need the pasuk? Then you have anyway, you're doing malacha at the same time, and we know malacha pasuk is the parah. So what would, according to Chachamim, what do you need this drasha for? So Tosfos says, fine, but let's say, for example, he's actually shechting two parah dumas, and he actually has in mind that both of them are going to be for the parah duma. So you can't call it different malacha. The only reason to pass it is because of oisa, below oisa v'chapeto. So in other words, you're right. According to Chachamim, most of the time, you don't need that drasha, because if you shechted another animal with it, depends. If you have kavana, then it's possible because of malacha, and if you don't have kavana, then in fact it's kosher. The only case would be that the other animal would be possible. The only case would be that the Chachamim need that drasha is where you're shechting two parah dumas together, having in mind that both of them are for the parah duma, and for that we need the special drasha osav aloi osav afavatam. So kamash malam, so that's what Rabban needs to tell us, the point of Nosson, that that's the fish. Okay, continues the Gemara, chos of glass, you know. What happens if instead of another animal, what if there was a pumpkin there next to the parah duma, and he cut it together with the shechita of the parah duma? Well, if he intended to do it, give a half of solo, then everybody is going to agree that it's possible. They were not talking about shchita. They were talking about a plain malacha. And of course, to cut a pumpkin doesn't require kavana or not. So therefore, he's done malacha at the same time he shechted the parah duma. But if a pumpkin got cut together with it, again, there was no kavana. He didn't realize that there was, that there was one over there, then everybody would agree that it's kosher, because then there's no psul of malacha, because there was no hesach adas, because he didn't intend to cut anything else together with it, and he, of course, isn't, it's not relevant to talk about whether the cutting of that pumpkin is the kavana or not, and therefore whether it should be kosher or not. So then it's just strictly a question of, was there kavana, and there wasn't, and therefore there's no hesach adas. Now let's talk about, we've been going through the various things that passel shchita. As we learned before, there are five basic things that passel shchita. Shehiya, which is pausing during the shchita. Chaloda, which is sticking the knife in under the simonim, or as we learned before, maybe under the skin or a cloth or different possibilities like that. Hagroma, shechting in the too high up or too low down the neck. Pressing the knife against the neck or chopping, and ikur, tearing out the simonim, which includes shechting with a knife that has a nick in it, or it can also mean ripping out the simonim instead of cutting it. So we've been going through these various psulim and the details of them. Now let's go through the dinim of shehiyah. So the Mishnah says, Nofla sakin vihigbiya. In the middle of the shechita, the person in the shechita dropped his knife and then picked it up vihigbiya, and he picked it up and continued the shechita. Nofla kela vihigbiya. And he dropped his clothing, and he dropped one of his pieces of clothing that he was wearing, vihigbiyan, and he lifted it up, and continued the shchita. Or hishchas as a sakin, or he sharpened the knife. He realized that the knife is not sharp enough, the off,
And so he took time, sharpening the knife. But often he got tired, uvachaveda v'shachat, and another person came and finished the shchita. I mean, the same thing would apply if he himself finished the shchita, but more typically, of course, if he got tired in the middle, then somebody else would take over the shchita, which is why the Mishnah phrases it in that way. So in all those cases, in all those cases, if he stopped during the shchita enough time for a shchita, as we're going to see in the Gemara, psula, then the shchita is possible. That is the psula of shahiyah. That is the psula of shahiyah, where there was a pause in the middle of the shchita. Why does the Mishnah need to mention all those? Well, you could say because the Mishnah is just mentioning several typical cases, or you could say maybe it's one thing where the knife fell, where it actually went out of the shchita place, where his clothing fell down the knot, and you could say if he sharpened the knife, and that itself, you could argue, is a part of the process of the shchita to make sure that the knife is good, and nevertheless, in all those cases, shahiyah applies. So a number of Rishonim have the Girsa in Shakadish Shita Acheras, if he paused long enough for another Shita, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Reb Shimon Oimim Shakadei Bikur. Reb Shimon says, no, the amount of Shahir is if he paused the amount of time for Bikur, for checking, as we will see in the Gemara, what Bikur in this context means. So the Gemara says, my Kadesh Shita, when we say that if he paused during the Shita, the amount of time of Shita, what does that mean? Omer Rav for the Shita's Behema Acheras. Means enough time to shecht another animal, which means, in other words, it actually says you shouldn't think it means the amount of time to continue shechting this one. So say, for example, you know, here we said that with an animal, you have to shecht through the majority of both simonim. So let's say, for example, you had shechted through 40% of each of the two simonim, and now one of these pauses took place. Are we going to say now that the amount of shahiyah that would pass over shchita is the amount of time it would take to do the next 11% of each one? No. We say it would be the amount of time it would take to do 51% of another animal, of the two simonim of another animal. Well, the Gemara says, so this is what Rav said. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi ask Rav, can you clarify what you're saying? Do you mean that with animals, it's the amount of time it would take to shecht another animal, and for a bird, the amount of shahiyah is smaller, the amount of time it would take to shecht a bird. So in other words, we would say with each species, then it's going to be, the amount of shahiyah is going to be calibrated according to the amount of time it takes to shecht such a creature. Or maybe what you mean is there's always a standard amount, the time it takes to shecht an animal, and that amount would apply even to a bird. So Rav answers them, I don't know. I wasn't familiar enough with my uncle Rav Chiya when I learned this halacha. Rashi says, in other words, he wasn't besave upon him. He wasn't in a mood, basically, he wasn't receptive to me to ask this kind of thing. And Rashi points out, as we know from many places in Shas, that Rav was a nephew of Rav Chiya and learned a lot from him. In fact, he was a double nephew of Rav Chiya because Rav Chiya came from a blended family where there were one side of the family and the other where there were siblings that didn't share either a father or a mother. But Rav Chiya was a half brother to one group of them and a half brother to the other group, and therefore a boy from one group could marry a girl from the other group, and they did, and their son was Rav. So Rav Chiya is a double uncle of Rav. So Rav learned a lot by Rav Chiya, but he was saying, when I learned this particular halacha, Rav Chiya was not in a frame of mind that I could ask him this kind of detail. So I don't know. What is the din? Itmar. So it was said in the Beis Medrash. Omer Rav, so Rav himself said eventually that, yeah, the answer is, Kadesh Shchitas Behema LeBehema, the answer is indeed going to be that it depends on the species. The amount is going to be, for an animal, the amount of shahiyah that would fast over Shchita is the length of time that it takes to shecht an animal. And for a bird, it's a smaller amount than the time it takes to shecht a bird. On the other hand, Shmuel disagrees and says, no, I feel a behemah la'oif, even the amount of time of a behemah for a bird, in other words, that Shmuel is being maple, that for a bird, the amount of time that of shihiyah that would passel, the shvita, is a larger amount the time it would take to shecht an animal, even though, of course, shechting a bird takes less time. And the Gemara says, "V'chein ki also Ravin, Amar Rav Yechanan." Also, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, "In the name of Rav Yechanan, I feel a behemah la'oif that he agrees with Shmuel that even the amount of shehiyah is standard across all kinds of animals, even for a bird. The amount is the amount of time for an animal." So Rav Chananya, it says on the side, says a different amount, the amount of time of shehiyah that would pass through the shechita would be not just the amount of time to shecht, but also the time to bring another animal and shecht it. So bringing sounds like you're bringing another animal from someplace else. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, bringing even from someplace far away? Then it comes out that you're making it a variable amount, because sometimes another animal will be closer and sometimes it will be further away. You can't do that. Omer HaPapa, so the Papa explains, no, what it means is, we don't mean to bring an animal from someplace far away. You have another animal over here, it has to first be gotten down onto the ground, and then you can shecht it, because that's a normal thing. You usually have an animal lying down when you shecht. So we mean, in other words, that you have another animal standing in front of you, according to Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. The amount of time that would pass all the shechita is just the amount of time that it would take to do the actual shechting. According to Rav Chananya or Rav Chanina, it's also the amount of time that it would take to get the animal down onto the ground. So now, in other words, so Rav Yochanan, so in particular, the poskim seem to understand that Rav Chanina is arguing only with Rav Yochanan. But on the other hand, Rav and Shmuel, who had said the amount of time for an animal, for a bird, plus also the Chanina's amount of time, meaning in other words, the idea would be, so for animals, then the amount of time would be invalid shahia. Well, that's what Gemara is going to say now. So Amri Ma Rovim, Shmeid Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, it's actually Kadesh Yag Bihena, it's the amount of time that to get the animal up off the ground, the Yabud Sena, and then put it back down on the ground, the Yishchot, and then Shechting. So that would be the amount of Shehiyah that would pass on. What are we talking about? Daka la daka, with small animals, then the amount of time would be the amount of time that it takes to do all that with a small animal. So, for example, with a sheep, how long does it take to get a sheep up off the ground, then lie it back down, and then shecht it? That would be the amount of shehiyah for a sheep. The gasa la gasa, and then when it comes to large animals, when it comes to cattle, then it would be the same kind of thing, but evaluated according to cattle. It takes longer to get an ox off the ground and then put it back down, and then less time to do that with a sheep, and still less time to do that with a bird. So we would add that to the amounts that we said before. Now, Rashi points out, who's the halacha like between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan? We usually have a rule that when Rav and Rav Yechanan argue, the halacha is usually like Rav Yechanan. However, Rashi points out that here we have Rav Yosef Rav Chanina following Rav's opinion, because Rav is saying that you evaluate individually according to the type of animal. Rav had only mentioned animals versus birds. Rav Yosef Rav Chanina is going further and distinguishing between the different types of animals themselves. So therefore, that would indicate that the halacha is like Rav, and in fact, the amount of shehiyah depends on the type of animal. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that the halacha would be like Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, that it would mean that you have a longer amount of leeway for a bird, the amount of time that it takes for an animal. Tosfos points out, according to Rashi's shita, what we would actually say is there's a greater amount of difference in time between a bird and an animal versus between a behemoth daka and behemoth gasa. So according to Rashi, then you would actually have to, you'd actually have a different amount for each one, as opposed to according to Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, who are more makel, and they would say that you have a fixed amount for everything. Tosfos brings it. The Bahag also says that each type of life, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, that for each type of animal, it's different. It's different. The Rambam actually takes a little bit of a middle ground. The Rambam understands it to mean that for Behemah Gasa, the amount of time is the amount of time it takes to put down the Behemah, to get up the Behemah Gasa and put it down and shech. Whereas for a Behemah Daka or a bird, the amount of time would be the amount of time it takes to do that for a Behemah Daka. So the Rambam also passes them like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, behemah la'oif, but he's saying that you don't do so it's not oif la'oif like Rav says, but we don't say it's the same amount behemah gasa for all of them, but rather there's a difference in that regard between behemah gasa and dafka, as Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina had said. Okay, more on this topic of shehiya. The Gemara says, Omar Rava, now we're talking about Shehiyah as there's an actual pause in the middle of the Shechita. But what if the Shechita itself takes a long time? Omar Rava, Hashechet B'Sakin Ra, if a person is shechting with a dull knife, Afilo Kola Yom Kulo, even if he's doing Holocha Bava, he's moving it back and forth on the neck the entire day, then the animal is Tosha because there was no interruption during the Shechita. So in other words, it's not when we say Shehiyah, it's not the Shechita has to take place within a certain amount of time. If there can't be a pause during the Shechita more than a certain amount of time, the various opinions that we just had, what that actual amount is. So Boy Rava, but now Rava has a question. Shehiyah Smal Sheik Salvu. What if he did a little pause and then continued, and another little pause and then continued? All together, the Shehiyahs add up to the amount that we would say that it would be that we would puzzle that we said before. But do we do that? Can we combine them together in different amounts? So when I ask a Tishit, let me do that. Well, why doesn't Rava answer it from his own case of the dull knife? And the answer is Hossam, Adeloi Shah, because there, he didn't pause at all in between. He's shechting continuously. It's just that it's dull, and therefore it's not cutting, easily. So therefore, so Rava can't answer from his own case what we did if there were pauses, and we can't be sure. Similarly, Boyer of Huna Breder of Nassim, here's another question. Shah b'miut simonim nahu. What would happen if he cut through the majority of the simonim, and then he paused and did shehiyah, and then finished them off? So Mahu asked from Huna Breder of Nassim, what would be the din? Once most of the simonim have been done, then the animal is kosher now. The shechita has been accomplished properly. So if we do shehiyah after that, then it doesn't really matter. Or maybe we would say the fact that he continues afterwards and finishes the rest of the simonim then amounts to that now there was a shehiyah during the shechita. So in other words, we know, as we said earlier in the parak, Rubah Shalach of Kamoru, that cutting through the majority of the simon is the equivalent of cutting through the entire thing. Fine, but that's where you didn't afterwards, you cut through the majority of the simon, waited for the animal to die, and that's that. You were talking about that after a pause, you continue cutting through the rest of the simonim while the animal still has some life force to it. Would that still be considered a shehiyah that would pass a little? Or maybe not, because it is, or maybe not, because again, once you shechted most of the simon, Then therefore, it's considered like the whole thing. The Beis Halevi explains, in other words, the lumdus behind it is fine. Rubei Kekulei, but that's only really a lumdus that we consider as though it was the whole thing. Fundamentally, you are supposed to cut the whole simen, and here, therefore, we cut the rest of the simen. But there was that pause. Maybe after all, we should count it, and it should be considered shehiyah, and it should be considered shehiyah. Well, the Gemara says teku. We can't be sure about that. So therefore, we would have to machmer as usual with the stuff of Daraisa. Now, this explanation of the question is a point of Rashi. We've learned before in connection with a similar question about Chaloda, where Tosfos had a long discussion of the question. What's the question? If you're doing it after you cut through most of the simanim, then for sure there's no problem, and the shitta would be kosher. So what's even the question? It's Tosfos brought we had on Lamed Amud Beis a long discussion of Tosfos that we're actually talking about where he did it. So first of all, Rashi over here says that it can't be by the beginning of the shechita, because then there'd be no suffix. If you say that if it was the beginning of the windpipe, then of course that's not considered part of the shechita yet, because as we've learned many times, the windpipe can be punctured up to half its circumference, and it's still not considered the beginning of the shechita yet. Even half, in fact, as we looked before. And if it was the esophagus, as soon as you make a hole in the esophagus and then pause, then it's going to be psula, because it's going to be a trefa. So according to Rashi, of necessity, the question has to be at the end after he did Ruv. But again, Tosfos sat there, and then that Tosfos on Lamed Amud Beis asks on Rashi that the fact is, once you did Ruv of the Simonim, then it's good. And what's the question over here? So Tosfos themselves discusses that, in fact, we're talking about where it was the beginning of the Simon, and particularly we're talking about the beginning of the esophagus. Would we say that Shehi apostles over there, or maybe only Shehi apostles once you reach once you reach the majority of the sick? Tosfos brings another possibility is that you are using a dull knife, so it's continuing in Rava's case of the dull knife, but then you started the simon normally, but now you're doing it, and you are in fact doing the last little bit of the first simon. It's considered you are doing the shechita, so maybe it's not a shehia, or maybe not. Maybe once you shechted through most of that simon, then already then you have a pause between there and the rest of it. Maybe that's not considered misasik the shechita. Maybe it's considered cutting some other part of the animal, and shehia would apply. Then you also have another way of understanding is the question about the length of the shechita itself. Is it the time it takes to cut through the entire simonim or roiv of the simonim? So you have several different ways of explaining, and then in addition you also have a possibility that which the Ravid brings up, that maybe the Gemara is asking that it should be possible midrabbanan. Maybe on a daraisa level it would be valid according to Rashi because you shechted through the majority of it already, but maybe midrabbanan it would be possible because you're supposed to shecht the whole simonim. Okay, in any case, the Gemara says teiku, so we can't be sure, and therefore, of course, we have to go the whole night. The Mishnah, the Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Omer Mishar Kedei Bikur. Reb Shimon says the amount of shehiyah is not, as we were talking about, the time it takes to shecht another animal or another bird or to lift it up and then lay it down or whatever, but rather Reb Shimon had said the amount of time Kedei Bikur, the amount of time to do the checking. So the Gemara says, my Kedei Bikur, what do we mean? What does he mean by that? Amar Reb Yochanan, Kedei Bikur Shochocham. It means the amount of time that it would take for the chacham, the rov of the city, to check the knife in the first parak of the in this first parak of our mesechta. The Gemara had pointed out that a shochet has to show his knife to the city rov to check, and if not, then it depends. Even if the knife is found to be kosher, we still penalize him. And if we find it, and if we find the knife to be chafe, meaning that he's been shechting in a way that's possible and been giving people nevelos, then he has even more consequences. So the rov has to check the knife. We talked about a couple of weeks back. That nowadays it's not common to do that. So in general, the rabbonim are merchel on their pavit, and they usually have somebody in the shlachtos itself whose job it is to a senior shochet whose job it is to check the other shochtim's knives. In any case, so Reb Shimon is saying, says Reb Yochanan, the amount of time that it would take for the rov of the city to check the knife. Well, again, the Gemara asks, the Rav doesn't always live next door. In Kain Nasata Devilacha L'Shiurim. Then again, you have different Shiurim, depending on how close or how far away the Rav lives. So no, Elikadid Biku Tabach Chacham. No, what it means is, we don't mean the Rav who's not present. We mean where the Shoshat himself is the Shtot Rav, and he himself, therefore, is capable of checking his knife. So then, with the amount of time, says Reb Shimon, that it would take him to check that knife and see whether it was smooth and kosher. Tosfos points out, you also have to consider the length of a knife. After all, different lengths of knives take different amounts of time to check. And again, you don't want to stop the develop of the shiurin. So Tosfos says, fine, it would be the length. That would be twice the length of the neck of the animal, as we learned before, that's the proper length for the shechita knife, so in case you only do a single stroke and do the shechita, then at least there hasn't been any drasa involved. A different explanation, though, of Bedikka, despite the fact that the Gemara is saying over here, Bikurish or Chacham, the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayis gives a different explanation. It's checking the simonim to make sure that the majority of them was cut. And Hassam Sofer explains that Rambam doesn't mean after every shitta, you don't necessarily have to do that. It means, let's say there was a suffix, and you're showing it to a Chacham, or you yourself are a Chacham, and you check that. So according to the Rambam, it's not checking the knife, it's rather in a case where there was a suffix, and you personally have to check, were the majority of the simonim in fact cut. So according to Reb Shimon, that would be the amount of shehiyah. The halacha is like the chachamim, though, that it's the amount of time that it takes to do the actual shechita, or as we said in the Gemara, the amount of time that it takes to raise up the animal off the ground and then lower it back down again and then shecht it. The Mishnah says, Shachatas Avesh Uposakas Agaderes. If he shechted the esophagus normally, but then he cut the windpipe not in a way of proper shechita. Let's say by twisting it, for example. Or Uposakas Agaderes for Shachatas Avesh. Or the other way around. He cut the gargaris without a proper shchita, which Rashi points out. This is the psul of ikur. This is he's tearing the simonim instead of cutting it. So either way, loy hintema. So either way, oh shachat echad mehem vhintemad shemesa. Or he shechted one of them and waited until the animal died, which is no good because you have to shech through both of them. Or he shechted one of them the normal way, and then he stuck in the knife underneath the other one and cut it. We learned earlier in the Gemara that what we mean is, in other words, that he put it between one simon and another. So now one simon he cut from the outside in, as is the normal way of shechita, and now the other one he cut from the inside out, which is the backwards, which is not the proper way of shechita. We talked about before. Conceivably, it could even mean that he stuck it deeper in the neck. Between the simonim and the neck bone, and cut it in that direction. Whatever the case, so in all those cases, obviously it's a possible shechita. But what do we do? What is the din as far as the carcass of this animal? Rabbi Yeshev says that the animal is now going to be considered nevela, which means therefore not only you can't eat it, you can't eat it in either case, but also that's metame, as tumas nevela, you touch it or you carry it or kazayis of it, you become tame. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says it's tshefa basically because part of the shechita was done properly, so therefore that's enough to take away the tumor of nevela. There is an explanation in the Eden gives that Rabbi Akiva would agree in the first three cases, and he's arguing only on hechad asakin, where after all, so in the other cases, in other words, he didn't do a shchita at all. He did posak or he did whatever. But here, where it was only chalada, and the Meili says Rabbi Akiva would say about some of the other things as well, shehiya and drosa and so forth, that maybe it would only be tereza. So the Yeshevav disagrees. Rashi points out, though, now the word Yeshevav is a bit of an unusual name. So we're somewhat familiar with the name of Rabbi Yeshevav because he was one of the Asara Adrogi Malchus. Rashi points out, we actually find this name in Tanakh. We find the name of one of the Mishmaris was, for the 14th Mishmar, was Yeshevav, which it seems to indicate that would actually be the proper pronunciation of the name. So we usually say it. We usually pronounce and spell it Yeshevav. But based on Rashi, it seems that the correct spelling and pronunciation would actually be with an aleph between the two vases, and the pronunciation would be Yeshevav. Whatever the case, so instead of Yeshevav, who says that would be Nebeva, Rabbi Akiva says Tzreva. Well, Klal Omer Rabbi Yeshevav, so Rabbi Yeshevav says, listen, let me give you a rule. Bishum Rabbi Yeshua, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Kol Shem Nifsal of Shkitasa, anytime the psul happened during the Shkita itself, Nebeva. Then the animals in the Vela. And all these cases, there was a psul in the Shchita. Kol sheshchitasa karoi, where the Shchita itself was correct, v'davar achad garam lo bipasul, and something else causes to be pasul, one of the physical defects, one of the physical defects or sicknesses or whatever that we're going to learn in the next parak, then it's tereva. V'hoi d'loi Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva conceded to Rabbi Yeshevav that it's so, and therefore the end halacha is that in all the cases of our Mishnah, the animal would in fact be nevela. And therefore, a person touches it or carries it, he becomes tummy. Insofar as the issue to eat it, of course, it's going to be awesome either way. And Tosfos points out that when you get down to it, if he eats it, he might actually be chayav for both neveva and tereva, because the fact is those are two different isurim in the Torah. So the Gemara says, shachatas avesh. Hold on, one of the cases we have in the Mishnah is where he shechted the esophagus properly, but then he cut the windpipe not in the right way. And he said, v'hoi d'lo Rabbi Akiva, eventually Rabbi Akiva agreed to Rabbi Yeshevav that all these cases of the Mishnah are nevela. However, the Gemara says, Rumini, but I have a contradiction. The next parak begins, Elu Trefas the Behema. The following cases in an animal are Trefa, and not, in other words, implying a not nevela, and among them are Nekuba Savesh, where it has a hole in the esophagus, Upsuka Sagagaras, or where the windpipe was cut improperly. So we see, in other words, that if the windpipe was cut improperly, it's still tereva. So why is there so? And the Mishnah lists it at the beginning of Elul Tishrei. So then, so that Mishnah is contradiction. Then Rabbi Akiva's conclusion in our Mishnah over here that it's that it's Nevela and not Tishrei. Now, here's where Tosfos points out, look, the fact is the issue of Tshrefa is still on it as well. He would be chayav for eating, because he would be chayav if he ate it, because of Tshrefa as well. So fine, but Tosfos says, but if you're going to tell me that Shchita is not, that it's impossible to do Shchita for it at this point, it's called Nevela, then it still shouldn't say the word Elu Tshrefas, it should actually say Elu Nevelas. It should say the Elu Nevelas. So therefore, so the question is still why we're using the words Elu Tshrefas, when really according to Rabbi Akiva, it comes in, Rabbi Akiva's conclusion is that it's Nevela. Tosfos then goes on to say that can also, you could also argue that it means maybe, so if he cut off a piece of it while it's alive, then he's over not only on Eivim and Achai, but also Tereifa, and not Nevela, but nevertheless, the Mishnah seems to be talking about after the animal died, after it was shechted, then we say nevertheless, it's still Tereifa. And so we're not talking about pulling a piece of it off of it while it's alive. So Amar Rava, Loikasha, Kansha Shachat, also Posak, Kansha Posak of a Sof Shachat. The answer is that there's a difference between whether he shechted the one simen and then cut the other one improperly, or the other way around. So Kansha Shachat of a Sof Posak, where he first shechted the esophagus properly, and then he cut the second one wrongly, that would be the case on the Shadez talk about, where it's Nevela. Can, whereas the Mishnah in the next paragraph is talking about Shaposak of Lasov Shachat. He first cut through the windpipe improperly, and then he shechted the other simon. So we would say Shachat of Lasov Posak Nifsalas Mishkiti. When he first shechted one simon and then cut the other one, then it's in the middle of the Shchita, and therefore it became possible in Shchita, and as Rabbi Yeshayahu says in the Mishnah, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, in such a case it's Nevela. Posak of Lasov Shachat. But if he first broke the windpipe and then shechted the esophagus, ki dava acha goramali posel ganya, then in effect it's considered as though something else, not part of the shechita process, caused it to become posel, because the fact is that was before the shechita process started. Fine, he goes and then shechts the second simon, but nevertheless it was cut before he began the actual shechita. Ki dava acha goramali posel ganya. So it's the equivalent of something else causing it to become posel. We don't say that it became possible during the Shchita, and therefore Rabbi Yeshayahu's rule would not apply, and therefore the animal would be considered Tereifa as a result of that hole, as a result of that cut in the windpipe, and not Nevela. So that's how you reconcile between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in the next parable. And Achronim points out, wait a minute, so the fact is you need to shecht both simonim, and if our Mishnah, in fact, had mentioned you shechted one simon and waited until the animal died, then it's Nevela. So if you cut the windpipe before a proper shechita, the fact is that you didn't have a shechita of both simonim. So the Tiferes Yaakov explains that even according to Rava's explanation, fine, it would mean, in other words, you cut the windpipe in one place, but then you went in a different place in the neck and did a proper shchita through the windpipe and through the esophagus. But the fact is, what will prevent it from being Nevela if that cut in the windpipe took place before the Shchita? But again, if you shechted the esophagus first, then already it became possible during the middle of the Shchita, then it would be, as our Mishnah says, Nevela. Okay. The Gemara says, Eisvei Rav Acha Bar Huna L'Rava. However, then, Rav Acha Bar Huna has a question on Rava. Our Mishnah had said, Shachat as a vesh, or Pasek as a gageras, if he shechted the esophagus and then cut the windpipe, Pasek as a gageras, v'achafach shachat as a vesh, or he first cut the gageras, the windpipe, and then he shechted the esophagus, Nevela. So we said that our Mishnah had said that it's Nevela. A number of Rishonim take out the word v'achakach over here, because Robert is going to answer that it means the other way around. It means he first shechted the esophagus. So then if you have v'achakach, then you clearly can't say that. Instead, the wording would be v'shachat as a vesh, that he cut the gageras and shechted the vesh. Then the Mishnah says Nevela. So it doesn't matter which order. And Rabbi Akiva agreed to him in both cases. Shitubu Kubetzis points out, after all, I mean, it seems from the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva conceded completely to Rabbi Sheva, not just in some cases. So the answer is so Rava answers it. What it means is what the wording of the Mishnah means when it talks about pasuk as a gargaris for shachat as a vesh doesn't mean in that order. He first cut the gargaris and then he shechted the esophagus. What it actually means is he cut the esophagus. He cut the windpipe. He cut the windpipe having already previously shechted the vesh. And therefore, we're saying that's in the middle of the Shechita, and therefore that would be the case where our Mishnah says that it's Nevela. But in fact, Rava says if it was the other way around, he first cut the Gargaris, then he shechted the Vesh, then, again, following at least the logic of the Teferes Yaakov, that after cutting the Gargaris, he then went someplace else and did a proper Shechita on the Gargaris and the Vesh, then Rava would say that's not Nevela, that would be Tereza, like the Mishnah at the beginning of the next paragraph. Omalei, but Rabacha, Bahu, and Rabacha, of Acha Bahuna says that doesn't work. Shtei Truvas Badavar, I have two refutations of you in that. Choda Dahainu Kamaisa, because in that case, then it's just repeating the exact previous case. You have where it's a Shfosik as a Geras, the Shachat as a Vesh, and it would be exactly the same thing. Shachat as a Vesh, Posik as a Geras. Either way, you're saying that you'd be saying that's Nevela. If he first cut the esophagus and then if he first shechted the esophagus and then cut the windpipe. So the Mishnah would just be repeating itself. V'oid hotnan v'achalkach. And second of all, the Mishnah does in fact say the words v'achalkach or afterwards. Okay, maybe we don't have it in the Mishnah, but at least the Braisa that we just quoted has the words v'achalkach and afterwards. So you can't say that. It means that it's the other way around. Okay, so that answer doesn't work. Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says, fine, you're right. Elo Asuris Katani. When the Mishnah in the next paragraph begins Elo Trefas, it's not meaning the narrow meaning of Trefa. It means in general Elo Asuris Katani. What it means is the following cases are all Asur. Which, after all, the word trefa fundamentally, that Ashba points out, the word trefa fundamentally means off limits. This is like we have in common parlance, we use the word tref to mean anything that's not kosher. So here, the Mishnah is using ego trefas in that sense. The following are not kosher. The Yeshman Nevelas, the Yeshman Trefas. Among the various cases that the Mishnah is going to mention over there, some of them are Nevela and some of them are trefa. Which will the Nafkamina will only be as far as the Nafkamina will be only as far as Issa the Heft, as far as Tumah Vatara. As far as Malchus, for one or the other, so but either way, it's going to be also to eat. So in other words, when we say so the Mishnah is saying, but they were the first two that it says the Korvas Avesh, the Pesukas Agageras, where there's a hole in the esophagus or where the windpipe has been cut, those would be examples of Nevelas. The rest of them are Trefas. Because those two actually affect the place of the Shechita, as opposed to the rest of the things in the Mishnah don't affect the place of the Shechita. So Rashi is saying that both of them are considered Nevela. That either one of those cases would be Nevela. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva Eger brings that the Rosh in turn brings from Rabbeinu Tam that no, the case with a hole in the windpipe would be Trefa, and the fact is you could still do a Shtita and at least take away the Tumas Nevela. And a number of other Rishonim learn that way as well. Okay. So again, Rava's first answer that all of them have to be Trefas wouldn't work because it doesn't fit with the wording of our Mishnah and of the Braisa. But the second answer is Eilu Trefas doesn't doubtfully mean the narrow definition of Trefa means the following apostle. Okay, well, the Gemara asked in that case, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is listed at the Mishnah at the beginning of the next paragraph, is listing things that are possible not only as Shefa but also as Nevela, the Lakshav Nami the Chizkiyah, then in that case you should also include, for example, the case that Chizkiyah said that we learned a few days ago. Dama Chizkiyah asa gistra Nevela. Chizkiyah had said that if you chop the animal in half, then it's Nevela. So again, that's not just Shefa, that's actually Nevela, even if the animal's still convulsively moving and you shecht it at the last moment. We had also a case of a few days ago in the Gemara in that connection, for example, where the thigh of the animal is missing so much that you can see the thigh socket is also considered gistera. For that matter, Tosfos points out the Gemara could have also brought in a din that Ziri had said, where if the mafrekas, the neck bone, and most of the muscles around of the neck are cut, then it's also nevela. He was where Tosfos says, though, that would only be Nevela only if the spinal cord was also broken. And the Mishnah in the next paragraph, by Eilu Trefas, does mention the spinal cord being broken. So therefore, We don't need to list this one separately, but the question is Chizkiyah's din, because you could have where it was cut into a gistera and everything remains intact. For example, Tosfos brings an example. You have where gistera doesn't just mean where the animal was literally chopped in half. Tosfos points out that could also include, for example, where a rib on each side was dislocated, one on each side of the animal. So even though the spinal cord and the spine are completely intact, nevertheless we call it gistera in the next parak. And there are other possibilities as well. You can cut it lower down on the body where it's in a place which, as we'll learn in the next paragraph, the spinal cord being cut makes the animal treifa only up to a certain point. And so that's why the Gemara is bringing this. And Tosfos goes on to discuss why the Gemara is asking the question at all. The fact is that there are other cases we're going to learn in the next paragraph that are also treifa, which are not listed in the Mishnah, so why don't we list those? So then what's the question about this one? And Tosfos goes and discusses that thing. So we should at least list what Chizkiyah had said also. If you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is listing not only Treifas, but also Nevelas, then Chizkiyah's case is also a case where it's Nevela, and the Lech of Nami, the Rebbe Lazar, and also include what Rebbe Lazar says, what we just said, the Amar Rebbe Lazar, Nitla Yerach V'Cholol Shala, if the thigh of the animal was removed and you see the socket of it, then also Nevela, then also the animal is Nevela, because that's an effect, another kind of Gistera as well. So if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is listing only Treifas, then fine, it's not listing those, because those are Nevelas. But if you're telling me now, Rava, that the Mishnah in the next parak is listing both Treifas and Nevelas, then if it's listing Treifas, why isn't it listing these Nevelas as well? So again, Tosfos points out, fine, what it means is, now the next Mishnah, after it lists a bunch of Treifas, is going to say, Zeh HaKlal, the general rule is, any case where the animal is not going to live very long is considered Treifa, and that's the Gemara brings in there that you have a number of other cases that the Gemara is going to bring that are not in the Mishnah, where also the animal is Treifa. Fine, those are all included in this rule, but what we're talking about over here is the animal is basically dead as of now, so they're not even included in Kol She'en Kamayah Chaya. Kol She'en Kamayah Chaya would imply that it won't live long term. Here we're talking about with these kinds of things, gistera, or the thigh being, or the entire thigh being removed or whatever. It's not even going to live long enough to be in that category. But if you're telling me that the Mishnah is listing even Nevelas, then it should list them as well. The answer is because Kikatani Nevela Dlemetam and Chayef. Because the Mishnah, when it in the next Perek, when it's talking about things that are Nevela or Treifa, it's talking about it's Nevela, but it's not still Matame while the animal is alive. So let's say, in other words, for example, the windpipe was cut. It's cut. It makes it a Nevela, according to Rava's explanation. However, it's not Nevela yet, as long as the animal is physically alive and breathing, then it's not Nevela yet. Once it dies, then yeah, it'll be Matame Nevela when you touch it. But these cases of gistera or the thigh being completely pulled out, then that those are matame, even when the animal is still alive and breathing, nevertheless, it's still already considered nevela. Lo katani, therefore the Mishnah is not listing it. Okay, so that's Rava's answer, that how to reconcile our Mishnah with the Mishnah in the next parak. Is that in fact, both in our Mishnah and in the next parak, we're saying that if the windpipe is cut without a proper shlita, it's nevela. But the difference is that and in fact, in the next Mishnah, when it says Eilu Treifas, doesn't mean all of them are Treifas and not nevelas. Some of them are in fact nevela as well. Okay, that's one answer. Reb Shimon Lakish Omar, Reb Shimon Lakish says a different explanation. Kan sheshochat b'mkem chasach, kan sheshochat shaloi b'mkem chasach. The difference is, in our Mishnah, you have, again, the windpipe was cut improperly. Did you shecht it in the place of the cut? So is it that you cut it wrongly and then you shecht it in that exact place? Or is it that you're in the... So our Mishnah would be saying that that's Nevela. The Mishnah in the next paragraph is talking about where you shecht it not in the place of the cut. You went higher up or lower down on the windpipe and cut. So it says, Rish Lakish shochet b'mkem chasach, if you shecht it in the exact place where you cut it, then in effect it's become possible in the shchita, because after all he didn't do it in a proper way of shchita. He did it in a way that makes it possible. Therefore, the shave of his rule in our Mishnah, which Rabbi Akiva conceded to, would be that it's nevek. But if you shecht it in a different place, then ki gavacha gormali posel damya, then it would be the equivalent of something else causing it to become posel, and therefore, as is the rule in our Mishnah, it wouldn't be nevela, it would only be treifa. So this is actually similar to the answer that's the Tiferes Yaakov that Brent brought before, that Rava would have to use that answer as well, because after all, even according to Rava, you have to shech both simonim for it to be a kosher shkita. But now the Gemara is spelling it out in Rish Lakish's understanding of the mission. However, the Gemara asks of Miyamar of Shimon Lakish Hachi, did Rish Lakish really say that way and explain like that? That even when the gargeras, the windpipe, has been cut, it is possible still to do a shchita to the extent that it won't be neveva anymore. But he himself says, shachet as a kona v'achatach nikva hareya. If he shechted the windpipe and then the lung developed a hole. Now we're going to learn in the next text, holes in the lungs make the animal tereifa, and the windpipe of course is connected to the lungs. So here, he shechted through the windpipe, so now the windpipe is not functional anymore. But now, before he finished the shchita, then a hole developed in the lung, before he had a chance to shech the vesh. So Rish Lakish says kshera, it would be kosher, because once the windpipe had been cut, then the lung at this point is considered, in effect, as though it's not in the animal anymore, as though it's like sitting in a basket, and therefore psulim are not going to be relevant here. Alma, which we see exactly that, commandment from the kuladamya, it's the equivalent of that lung now being placed into a basket. Now, in that case, by that logic, hochanami, when the gargeras was cut, commandment from the kuladamya, it should also be considered as though the gargeras, the windpipe, has now been, in effect, removed from the animal and placed in a basket, and now how can Rish Lakish be saying that it would be possible to shech there someplace else in it, and it would be considered a kosher shchita, not that you can eat the animal, but at least to the extent that it's not tumas nevela, what's the logic? So the Gemara says, you're right. No, there's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in the next parak. Kan kodim chazara, kan ma'acha chazara. It's simply our Mishnah is telling us how it was after Rabbi Yochanan after Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and conceded to Rabbi Yishevav. The Mishnah in the next parak is Rabbi Akiva's version of the Mishnah before he changed his mind, and just we have the rule that the Mishnah does not move from its place, meaning the often you'll have, there was a wording of the Mishnah, which the Tanoim, which in that time, the Mishnah and the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, was still Baal Peh. And therefore, so when they memorized the Mishnah with a certain wording, they wouldn't change it even after the circumstances changed, in this case that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. So now Rashi points out, our Mishnah comes before the other one. That doesn't matter. Rashi says, ain't Seder the Mishnah. Within the Mishnayos itself, they're not necessarily in chronological order. When it comes to, Rashi explains, there is significance to the order of Mishnayos within a Masechta. When you have a Stam Mishnah and then a Machloikas on the same topic, or a Machloikas and then a Stam Mishnah, then it's significant to know which one comes first and which one second, because then we're going to say, if the Stam comes first and then the Machloikas, it means that Rebbe, after having compiled the Mishnah with the Stam, says, you know what, there was a machlokas on that, we can't accept that Stam as the last word on the subject. As opposed to if it's machlokas v'achakas Stam, it comes the other way around. Rebbe had originally said, there's machlokas on this and I can't decide, and they said, you know what, let's decide, he and his base decided like this, that the accordance with one of those opinions. So to that extent, it's significant if you have that kind of thing within one Masechta. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that cross Masechtas, that doesn't work because Rebbe didn't necessarily compile the Masechtas in the order in which we had them. But in any case, it actually says, as far as the chronology, which Mishnah was actually taught first, and which the wording of which Mishnah was fixed first and which second, that can vary even within one Masechta, and therefore you can have the Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak was originally taught according to Rabbi Akiva's original Svara, that a case like this is only Tereifa and not Neveva. Later on, Rabbi Yishevav and Rabbi Akiva had their Machloikas in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Akiva conceded to Rabbi Yishevav. Nevertheless, the Tanoim still continued to learn the Mishnah in its original wording of Elu Tereifas, even though some of the cases in that Mishnah are in fact Nevelos based on what we're saying. So the Gemara continues, speaking of this din of Rish Lakish, Gufa, getting back to what we said, Amr Shimon Lakish, Shachar Sakana, if he shechted the windpipe, Vachakaf Nikva Hareya, and then a hole developed in the lung, Kshera, so we said it's kosher, because at that point the lung is considered detached from the body. However, Omar Rava, like Omar Reb Shimon Lakish, Ela Bereya, Reb Shimon Lakish is only speaking specifically about the lung, because the life force of the lung depends on the windpipe. The windpipe supplies air to the windpipe supplies air to the lungs, and therefore, So now if a hole develops in the lung, then we can consider as though the lung was already removed from the animal and it's not a problem. If this happened in the middle of the shitta after he cut the windpipe, before he cut the esophagus. However, says Rava, if the same thing were to happen with the intestines, and a hole in the intestines is also something that makes the animal trefa, loy, then Rabbi Akiva would not say, not Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shlokish, would not say that. Then, in fact, we would say the animal is safe because the lungs, the windpipe, of course, indirectly has to do with the stomach. It provides oxygen to the entire body, including the intestines, but it's not a direct connection. And therefore, holes in the intestines or any other internal organs would still make the animal trefa if they happen during the shvita. The Ran talks about, so what about, for example, the heart and the liver? Those are not directly connected to the windpipe either, but they're all part of the same circulatory system, or the same basic circulatory system as the lungs. Of course, the Ran wants to say that, in fact, those would be included in Rava's first statement as well, and then he says, no, after all, if you were to consider, after you check the windpipe, that the heart and the liver are all considered missing, then the animal should be considered dead right away after you check the windpipe. How could you even check the esophagus and have it work? What about the other way around? What about if he shechted the esophagus first and then the windpipe? Now it is usually you sheft the windpipe first because it is closer to the surface. So that's why the Mishnah, that's why the Gemara would be talking about that kind of case where he shechted the windpipe first. But what about if he shechted the esophagus first? Would we say then that now a hole in the intestines doesn't matter? Tosfos and most Rishonim say that yes, then in that case that would be the case. If you happen to shech the esophagus first, and then a hole developed in the intestines, or any other part of the digestive system, then in fact the animal would remain kosher. But the Ran disagrees with that and says that no, in either case we don't say that. We don't say that the life force of the intestines and the digestive system depends on the vesh as much as the life force of the lungs depends on the windpipe. The pashtus, of course, I mean the windpipe provides directly air into the lungs, whereas the connection the esophagus, of course, supplies food to the digestive system, but the chayus is not directly connected with it. Therefore, the Ran says that, in fact, if a hole developed with them anytime during the shita, they would, in fact, be trafe, whereas Tosfos and most Rishonim disagree with that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Maskutar Abzera. So Abzera says, then I have a question on you, Rava. What are you telling me that you have? You're telling me that a condition of trefa developed in the animal. After all, a hole in the lung is a simon trefa. And nevertheless, you're saying he tarita, ma'achash anodabas simon trefa he tarita. If you're telling me that the shlokish would hold that even though you shech the windpipe and now a hole in the lung doesn't matter, so what's the difference then whether it's in the lung or in the digestive system? In other words, Rav Zeira takes the view that Rish Lakish's reason is not because of the direct connection between the windpipe and the lungs, but rather after you started the shita, then the animal does not have its complete chayus, and therefore trefa shouldn't apply to it, because you can't say a trefa can affect the animal when it still has its complete chayus, not when there's only half of it. So therefore, sort of Zeta figures, there shouldn't be a difference in that regard. However, the Gemara says, V'hodah be'Rav Zeira. But then Rav Zeira changed his mind and said that there is, in fact, a difference between the lungs and other parts. Again, according to the Ran, maybe the heart and the liver, which are also part of the circulatory system, would also be included in the lungs in that. But then the Ran says that no. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos has a different explanation of what it means. What did Rav Zeira change his mind on? So we'll talk about in a minute what Tosfos says that what he changed his mind is that so he had argued that either way it should be mutter, that there shouldn't be a trefus when it only has half the chayus of it, but then he's saying, so he doesn't take back his question, but he's asking how could you say that it's mutter if there's a hole in the lung? And if you're going to say it does, then you should say, then you yourself should say that there's no traitors for when it has half the life force and you're going to hold that that applies to the lungs, then it should equally well apply to the intestines. So the Gemara says, Rav Zeta changed his mind and retracted his question. And the reason we know that, the boy of Zeta, because Rav Zeta had another question. Nikvu b'nei me'ayim, ben simon l'simon. What happens? Precisely that. If the b'nei me'ayim, if the intestines developed a hole between the shefting of one simon and that of the other. Again, usually you sheft the windpipe first and then the esophagus, so we would assume that it's like that. Most Rishonim, many Rishonim, and many other Rishonim learned that really it would, the same question would apply, whichever one he shafted first. And again, then that would mean that he's arguing on the actual din of Rish Lakish, not just the reason of it, but the actual din that we can say that parts of the body are now considered detached from it. Anyway, so Rish Lakish, so Zeta asked the din, Mahu, what would be the din? Mimit Sarif, Simon Rishon, Simon Sheni, Lotarim and Denevela. Do we combine together the first and the second Simon to the extent that now it's Tahar, and then now, therefore, you can't eat it, but at least still that it's not Nevela? Or maybe not, because there's a big difference between the shchita of the first simon and the second one, because the first one, it could have ended up being a kosher shchita, where it would have actually made that the animal itself can be eaten, and the second one not, because by the time you reach the second one, then already you have a treifa involved over there. And then on the other hand, you could go back and say that the other way of looking at it would be that the fact is that the shchita, both simonim, was done properly, and it's something else in the animal that causes the problem. Rav Zeira is not clarifying whether his question is whether he means because of Nevela or not. Tosfos points out the words Latara and Nevela are not part of Rav Zeira's statement. This is the Gemara's interjection that why would Rav Zeira care whether it's Mitzadif or not? Either way, the animal is going to be Trefa is because we need to know whether it's Nevela or not. So we explain why is Rav Zeira asking the question? Lav Hainu Deboi Ilfa, isn't it the same kind of question as Ilfa asked in a case of a baby in the mother's womb, which we're going to learn in the fourth parak of our Masechta, that if the baby sticks out any body part before its mother was shechted, then that body part is forever also to eat. And we also have that we also have if then you shecht the mother, then that aver is then that is that you still you can't eat it, but at least the shechita of the mother helps to no longer make it nevela. So now Ilfa asked the question, Hotzi Ubers Yodim and Simon the Simon Mao. Same kind of thing. What happens if this unborn baby sticks out its leg between the shechting of the first simon of its mother and the second one? Mahu, what would be the din of that hand? Does the first second and the simon and the second simon count together to make it that now Nevela won't apply, and therefore, so you won't be able to eat that leg, but nevertheless, it will be considered Trefa, not Nevela. Or maybe not. Later on, when we're learning in the fourth parak, the Gemara does end up answering the question, but the point is, in other words, we have that question of Ilfa, and that seems to be exactly the same as Rav Zeira's question. So why is Rav Zeira re-asking the question? And in fact, ab kamay boilon ella elu tarim de nevela. And after all, the whole question is only to say whether it's nevela or not. Avabachila asura, but it's obviously also to eat. Now ab kamay boilon. The question is then that Rav Zeira's question, the fact that Rav Zeira asked the question was only to know whether it's Nevela or not. But either way, he agrees that it's also. So therefore we see that here, Rav Zeira had said before that if there was a trefa that happened in the middle of the shchita, the animal might even be mutter to eat. We see clearly that Rav Zeira changed his mind and does not hold like that anymore, because here he's saying the maximum you could say is it's not Nevela. So again, according to Rashi, it comes out Rav Zeira is not arguing with Rish Lakish's din, but he's limiting it only to the case of the lung getting punctured, but not any other case. As opposed to, according to Tosfos, Rav Zeira is actually arguing with Rish Lakish and arguing with the whole din, and saying that no, you can never have where it would be mutter to eat as a result of something happening during the shvita. The maximum you could have is that it's nevela. However, the Gemara says that's not really a proof. That's not necessarily a proof that the Reb Zera changed his mind. Maybe, in fact, Reb Zera did not change his mind. He would, in fact, hold that mutter not only if the lung got a puncture, but even if the esophagus, even if the intestines got a puncture. Reb Zera, the Dvar of the Rav, the Kama is only saying, according to Rav's Svara, the Leilei Svirlei, he himself doesn't hold like that. He would hold that it would actually be mutter to eat. But he's only saying, according to Rava, that Rish Lakish would limit his rule only to the lung and nothing else. Then Reb Zera would ask, what about if there's a hole in the intestine? Then according to Rava, would it be Nevela or Trefa? But he himself would say, never mind, Nevela or Trefa, it would be outright kosher. Again, according to Tosfos and the other Rishonim who agree with Tosfos, the vote would be that Reb Zera does hold that it is Trefa regardless. And he's asking Rava, why shouldn't it be mutter? If it's b'nei ne'ayim, fakir, he's saying according to Rava, if you're allowing it when the lung has a hole, the same way you should allow it when the intestines have a hole. But I hold that both of them are usur. So again, according to that way of looking at it, the question would be according to Rava, but not according to his own shit. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We're going to talk about an implication of the Shlokish's din. And we'll continue with this, with dinim, with various dinim of Shechita.